Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of The Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording. If you would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.LENNESSLifestyle.com. That's www.LENNESSLifestyle.com. And now, on to the recording. We're talking with Mary from Florida today, and thanks for joining me, Mary, and agreeing to share a little bit about your transformation and your life and so forth. These pictures, these two individuals, just flat out, just body-wise, face-wise, what, they're just not the same person.
No.
So, I mean, other than the obvious, which other people will see shortly, how is the first person different from the second person?
The first person was, you know, when you see the pictures, obviously full of pain. There was no way to hide that. It's just, I look back and I didn't even, you know, realize how painful a look I had on my face. And it just, it really showed how unhappy I was,
mm-hmm.
and ashamed and embarrassed, more so than I even realized at that point.
Well, that's very common, and thanks for sharing that with me today. But it's just amazing. I mean, you really did a tremendously awesome job. So let's get into it a little bit and find out a little bit about you and where you've been and how you got to where you are. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? How old are you? How tall are you? And that kind of stuff.
Okay. I live in Florida. I'm 31. I'm an entrepreneur starting a new project. And I'm 5'1", so pretty much on the very, very short side.
Sure.
But that's about it.
Sure.
Kids.
How many?
Two.
Two kids. How old are they? They keep you running around?
Not so much anymore. You
okay.
know, they're at the older. They're 13 and 9. So
okay.
Running around for different reasons.
Exactly. Well, when did you find the Leanness Lifestyle, and what brought you to the club?
I found the Leanness Lifestyle, I think it was like in February of 2001. I'd started with Body for Life, which was, of course, the umpteenth diet I had been on.
Okay.
I'd started with that, and then that led me to Body Changers.
Oh, right.
And then through Body Changers, I heard about the Leanness Lifestyle. So it was sort of an evolution from one, you know, to the next.
Right. And that was back in February of 2001.
Right.
So what's your history like then with weight and fitness and the transformation journey? Previous diets you've been on, battles you fought, how long did you fight them, if you did? Or did you stay, you know, pretty active? And what did you do right? What are some of the things that you did in the past that you would have done differently? What things have you been on? That kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I started, I was pretty, I guess, thin through my teens, which I never felt like it. But I was, looking back now.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started having kids, when I was in my early 20s, I just packed on the weight, and it didn't ever seem to really come off. I think I felt really good, like at 118 or 120.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good weight in my mind to me. But I was still always chubby. And then I would fluctuate to being really, really overweight, especially for my height. And I'd get up to like 140, 145, and I was wearing size 12s and 14s, and at one point I bought a 16. It's just not real flattering on someone so short.
On a 5'1 frame, right.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just go back and forth, and I'd try all the diets. And
like
I'd,
what?
Well, of course, the Body for Life, but going backwards from there, I did Atkins. I did, you know, I think I did the celebrity diet, the juice diet. I did juicing, fasting, the zone diet. Everything.
Sure.
Suzanne Summers, Richard Simmons, even Mary Lou Henner.
Okay.
And I can't even stand her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, I mean, I just, any diet I could find, I did, just to try to alleviate, you know, what I thought was my problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all that, and I was still chubby, basically, through the whole thing. And I think the lowest I got down to was probably a size 6, which, you know, I felt good, but I still didn't feel right. I didn't feel like I looked like a skinny fat still.
Okay, sure.
I was never really, really toned and tight. It was, you know, just a skinny fat.
Sure.
And I just fluctuated up and down, back and forth.
Okay. Well, what did you weigh when you first found the Leanest Lifestyle back in February of 2001 then? I know in the pictures that I'm looking at from 2002, you were around 145 there.
Right. I was about 140.
Okay.
In 2001. And I did the Leanest Lifestyle, you know, a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
And on my own. And, you know, I'd check in every once in a while and do a little bit. And I made it down to probably 120.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, the commitment wasn't there, and I don't think I really, really understood it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I didn't take advantage of everything that was offered to me in the Leanest Lifestyle.
Well,
I just kind of pick and chose from what I, you know, thought I knew I needed based on all the knowledge that I've gained from all these other diets.
Sure. Well, and you know, the thing that's interesting is that you really did gain a lot of knowledge, and I would say, you can tell me if I'm wrong, you've probably lost a lot of weight over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, lost it, gained it.
Right.
But would you say that with a lot of the other diets, in some ways, although they never really got you to your afters, which I'm looking at here from June of 2003, would you say that there's a lot of different diets out there that really aren't too bad at getting off some of the weight?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
You can get off some weight pretty fairly easily,
mm-hmm.
actually. But it's so different with the Leanest Lifestyle. What I found for me, what actually made it all click, was the support.
Mm-hmm.
Just to understand that it almost seems half and half, like half losing weight, and then the other half is everything else. It's going on in your mind and with other people.
Right.
And it's just the whole mental and emotional aspect of it.
Right.
That was missing in everything else.
Yep, I understand. Well, speaking of commitment, you completed an intensive. And you, not only did you complete an intensive, but you were in the first advanced intensive we ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Advanced EVA 1, we called it. And so, what did you start at when you began the intensive in April, and what did you finish at, and how did your body fat change?
I started at 112, and I was, I think I was at 30, I'm not even sure now, 34?
Something like that.
Yeah, like 34%, which shocked me, because that was the first time I had the body fat taken with calipers, and I had talked to you about this, because I was very distraught. Because way back when I was 145, I had been having my body fat tested with the bioelectric.
Right, bioelectrical impedance.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And it had said I was like 38% or 35%.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was down to 112 and feeling, you know, not awful about myself, and they did the calipers, they said I was 34%. I almost fell over dead.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a real shocker, because you just don't realize how much body fat you have.
Right. Well, you have a really small frame, and I think that's one of the things that just forces you to realize, is that you're a petite.
Yeah. It does. I guess you can hide in clothes so well.
Right.
And that's the thing that really got me, once somebody actually put the calipers to me, and that's a much more accurate way to measure body fat. But it was pretty shocking to start the intensive at 112 and be 34%. But
sure.
Once at the end of the intensive, I was 100.4, and I was at 23%.
Yeah, that's great. So you lost about 12 pounds. The intensive was 10 weeks.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
It was 8 weeks.
It was 8 weeks. That's right. It was 8 weeks. And so you lost about 12 pounds.
Right.
In 8 weeks. And you had about a 10% body fat drop. So that's outstanding. Well, during the intensive, what was harder than you thought it would be and what was easier?
What was harder was getting the vegetables in than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I had been doing what I thought was really, really good by eating tons of lettuce salads.
Oh, sure.
All day. So I just thought I was doing great, and when we had to account for our vegetable consumption, and I'm putting in, you know, like 12 cups of iceberg lettuce every day, I didn't get a real favorable response from you. And so that was harder to me than I had thought, because I thought I had that one in, you know, I thought that was just...
Yeah, that one in the bag, because you're eating, you're eating all this lettuce. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was not what I was going to have to concentrate on, because I was definitely getting all my vegetables that I needed. So then that was harder. But what was easier was that once I got in all those vegetables and figured out a way that was good for me to do it, it was so easy. It's just...
How'd you do it? How'd you get them in?
I put in... I like stir fries.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just take 2 cups of vegetables, and I'd make them 4 different vegetables. So I put a half a cup of tiny cut up kidney, you know,
bean sized. Yeah.
Yeah, just like you said. Yeah. I was like, all right, that's what he wants. That's what he's getting. So I'd just chop and chop and chop. I would put in 4 different types, half a cup each, and then I'd put in, you know, that in every single meal.
Okay.
That I had.
So you do it in stir fries. And one of the tips that we give for people that aren't used to vegetables is we say, put them in something that will hide the flavor. Now, salads are kind of a no-brainer because you can put dressing or you can do fat-free this or that or whatever. But
right.
So you're doing stir fries, and stir fries are a way to add vegetables to something else that has, what, some spices with it or whatever. And it kind of
right, and some protein.
Some protein. But are you a vegetable lover? Did you need to max the flavor or no?
No. I mean, I can eat vegetables.
Okay. Not a lover,
more
but...
harder than others.
Okay. So you're not a lover, but you don't hate them either.
I'm a lover. I'm not a fighter. it was okay. It got better. You get acclimated to it.
Right.
And then you just, it's all right.
Okay. So was it mostly stir fries and salads?
Oh, hey, I knocked out the salads. No.
Okay.
Don't pin that one on me.
No salads.
No salads.
Okay.
I swore salads off.
Oh, okay.
No, it's all vegetables, just all stir fry. But then I got more creative, and I would, you know, put like a bed of spinach down and then like tilapia on it and then something else over the top of it, some other vegetables. So it started to get more creative and a little easier.
Can you tell us what a typical day was like during your action phase when you were losing weight? What was a typical food day like? And give me a typical, don't try to be pristine here and
right.
Give me the perfect day, but give me an average day so that the person listening is trying to think, well, what's this woman eat to get to where she was? What did she have to eat?
I had a lot of food.
Well, take me through the day.
Okay. For breakfast, sometimes I would have a protein shake.
Okay.
And I'd put, you know, a half a banana in it or something. And that would probably be breakfast. And then the other 4 meals that I would have, 3 or 4, just depending on what my calorie requirements were for that day, I would do my stir fry or I would, you know, with the same combination every time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all different vegetables.
Right.
Because I would go to the flea market twice a week, and I would get every kind of vegetable I could find, even if I didn't know how to cook it yet. And so that way I would have something different to put in the stir fry or, you know, to lay the fish on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my formula for the whole thing. So I can honestly say, at least through the last big portion of the action phase, that's what I was doing. It'd be like a shake in the morning to get me started, and then the rest, it would be 2 cups of vegetables and 1 protein for 3 or 4 more meals.
Okay.
Give
me some examples, because people are scratching their head going, she's talking veggies and protein. What's protein? I don't even know what protein is.
I would have tilapia.
Okay.
That's a big one for me, because you can just go to Sam's and they're already frozen in the little packs individually.
Okay.
Tilapia, salmon. Mm-hmm. We would smoke salmon and just freeze it. So I'd have it and I'd freeze it into 3 or 4 ounce portions.
Okay.
I didn't have a lot of tuna because I noticed the sodium affected me a lot more and affected the scale. So I didn't have a lot of tuna, but that would be one choice.
Okay.
Chicken, shrimp, scallops.
Those are foods you ate?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're definitely a seafood lover.
Yeah, I guess I am. It just,
I'm
I don't
a lot
like
of...
steak or,
okay.
you know, stuff
nope.
like that.
Turkey?
Turkey, I don't know if it is actually true
mm-hmm.
or if it's just something I'm playing in my mind, but I always get so sleepy.
Oh.
More than I need to.
Okay.
But so I just stay away from it.
So you would do chicken breasts and the different fish
right.
That you've talked about, or seafood, I should say. And then you're going to have some kind of vegetable with it pretty much every time.
2 cups of vegetables every time, and then...
What kind of starchy carbs did you have then?
What kind of veggie carbs?
No, what kind of starchy carbs did you have, you know, breads and rice and...
I really didn't.
Okay.
No. I at one point I had gotten hooked on Tracy's crepes.
Yeah.
And I was having, before the intensive, I was having a lot of those
okay.
a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took myself off of it. So I had no grains or any kind of starchy carbs.
And one of the
I'd have a sweet potato.
One of the things I want to stress too is that you, even eating, you know, Tracy's crepes and eating some grains and things, you had gotten to 112 pounds.
Right.
You know, so when you started eating these grains, you got to 112.
Right.
And since you were in the advanced, the whole object of the advanced intensive was to take it to the next level.
Right.
And the next level was not just any level, but to be accepted in the advanced, you had to already be at a certain fitness level. So one of the things I want to stress is, it's, you know, there are certain foods that you will have an easier time getting away with to get to a certain level. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, I mean, you know, having more grains and starchy carbs is okay if you're, like you said in the beginning, you were 16,
mm-hmm.
you know. Simply cleaning things up a little bit is going to make a big difference.
Well, when I was cleaning things up a little bit, I would have the protein bars. I would have cottage cheese. You know, the fat-free or the low-fat.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have the crepes. Sometimes I'd have, if I really wanted a sandwich, I would have the, you know, the light wheat bread, things like that.
Sure.
But once I got into the intensive, that's when I completely cleaned it up.
Right. You went to more of a... you know, Neanderthal or Paleolithic
plant. Yeah.
So, you know, it's vegetables and lean proteins and some fruits. Did you have any fruit?
I did.
Okay.
Just, again, depending on my caloric requirements for the day, I would have, I would top whatever that stir fry was or whatever that concoction was that I had for that meal with a half a cup of some type of fruit. I would have watermelon or grapes. I would have those. I would have cantaloupe, apple, just whatever kind of fruit that I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And I just add a half of a cup.
Okay.
To it.
Well, with regard to the typical day then, what about exercise? What was a typical day of exercise like?
The typical, I would do, you mean for the day or the week?
Let's just take a day, and then you can kind of add it up for the week.
Okay. A day I would do probably 60 minutes of cardio during the intensive.
Right.
60 to 90 sometimes. And then I would do 30 minutes of resistance training, or 45 minutes probably every other day.
So resistance training is every other day, and cardio is when?
Cardio is every day.
7 days or 6 days?
7 days
a week during the intensive. And so for the week, how many minutes were you putting in then total?
I was ranging anywhere from 500 to I went over 800.
500 to 800 minutes a week.
Yeah, but those 800, those are probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks out of the whole thing.
Okay. So you most of the time was spent in the 500 range.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So these are things we're talking about here that could be kind of a little bit scary for other people that are listening as far as the numbers and the types of foods you're consuming.
Right.
And, oh, my gosh, look at all this commitment. First of all, I want to say that, yeah, you were committed. And you were not just committed to moving from the size 16 to a size 14, but you had already gotten to, what size were you when you started the intensive?
When I started, I was in a tight 6.
Okay, so you were already in a tight 6, and you were already at a certain level of fitness. And so, you know, again, the objective of the advanced intensive was to take you to that ultra lean, that higher level.
Right.
That level that most people never will get to, and I'm just going to be point blank about that, because the commitment level isn't there and because they will try to a la carte the plan too much. But you were committed to it, and through the intensive, you held your focus and you did the things that were necessary. Which, did it kill you?
No.
I mean,
and remarkably, I feel so much better.
Well, that was action. That was like serious action because you were advanced.
Right.
So how is that different now? Are you maintaining? And if so, what's maintenance like compared to what you just described?
Well, I'm maintaining now, which I had thought I was going to go and continue in the action. And I've taken a break from the action, not because I really needed to, but it is such a bizarre feeling to me as someone who's fought with weight basically all my adult life, to be in maintenance, and I'm just enjoying it right now and getting used to it, because I'm doing maybe 300 minutes a week, maybe between 200 and 300, which seems like nothing to me now. And I'm maintaining. I'm eating more calories and, you know, a lot of different types of food, although I'm still mostly eating in the paleo style.
Okay.
Just because I love it. I feel so good. But I've stayed in maintenance because it's such a different way of living for me. I've never been at the point where I haven't woke up or at some point through the day thought, I need to lose 5 pounds, I need to lose 10 pounds. I don't have to lose anything. So I feel really good, and I'm just getting comfortable with that feeling right now.
That's awesome. And I've talked to a number of members who finally do get to that point. And they're, like you said, you don't wake up every day thinking, oh, another 5 pounds to go.
Right.
Always that 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 pounds that need to go.
Right.
It's gone. It's already.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy with myself, and I'm more than that. I'm proud of myself and the way I look, and I know that I don't look like 90% of everyone else that I see, and I feel good about that, and to realize that I don't have to do anything more than just bare minimum at this point, it feels really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing about 5 hours of activity a week, and when you figure the number of waking hours are about 112 waking hours a week, you're doing about 4% of your waking hours. So it's not like 50% of your waking hours are engaged in exercise to maintain this weight.
Right.
It's 4%.
Yep.
And so I just want to make a point of that, because I just ran some numbers real quick when you were telling me how much you're using to, to maintain. During the action phase or during maintenance, did you use any supplements? And if so, why'd you use them and that kind of thing?
The only supplement I had was the multivitamin, the Bridge.
Got it. Protein supplement too, right?
I guess in the shakes, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
More like a protein powder or a meal replacement powder?
The protein, the meal replacement.
Okay. What advice would you give to the person who's trying to decide if they should give it another go? And I'm not talking about, maybe taking it to your advanced level, but I'm just talking about, they failed 14 other times. They did every plan you've done, plus 10 more.
Right.
Or they've only failed 3 times. Whatever. There's been probably some failures in the past. What advice would you give to that person who's thinking about maybe doing something again?
Well, I would, of course, I would recommend the Lena's lifestyle. Because you're getting the support, and you're kind of, you're put in a position when you just read the book about you're learning to determine your why,
mm-hmm.
which is missing in so many, I think it's missing in every other diet. I can't think of anybody else who's ever talked about that so much.
Mm-hmm.
I would just tell them to do it and to just start and just take baby steps, but just read the book and follow, and that's all you have to do. But if you use the tools, then it is really so easy. And I know everybody always says, well, if I can do it, then you can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cliche, but it is so true. It's very easy to do. Not easy like you're going to have no effort.
Right.
But it's spelled out, and if you follow it, and if you use all the tools, then, and if you're committed to it, then it will work.
Well, thank you for that, Mary. I really appreciate that. And, I mean, I'm just sitting here again just amazed at the transformation that you have made. But I want to kind of close with this, because I think everybody kind of wants to know this, too. What's tougher for you, eating clean or Lena's lifestyle way or getting in the activity?
I would say probably eating clean. I'm more tempted to not eat clean
mm-hmm.
than I would be to skip any of my activity.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, you're put in position, you know, a lot of the times where you are in a restaurant or you're at a family gathering, and those are the times when you have to really evaluate what you're doing and why you're doing it
mm-hmm.
and to remember. So I would say eating clean would be
the tougher
harder,
of the two, right.
But it's not hard.
Well, what do you do to keep focused in eating clean when the draw is there to pull you to the junk?
Well, I have a little album that I made, and it has my befores, and it has my afters, and it has, it's just a little tiny pocket album. And I have the, even pictures of me in regular situations, not in a bikini, but
mm-hmm.
just in regular clothes and being huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I just look at that, and I can, again, I see the pain, and I can still feel it when I look at those pictures, and I know what I felt like then. And so I can feel both of them at the same time, how I feel now and how I felt then, and I definitely have no problem pushing anything away
mm-hmm.
once I do that. And I just think about why I want to stay this way.
Right. Well, you've done incredibly well, and I know you said at one point in time you've been as high as a 16 on a 5'1 frame.
Yeah.
What size are you now?
Now I'm in zeros and ones.
How's that sound to say that? Does it still sound odd or...
I'm starting to get used to it.
Okay.
And that's what I was saying about being in maintenance, and I thought I was going to go into, you know, continue in action, and...
Right.
I'm just still... I'm over the shock of saying that.
Zero and one, yeah.
You know, but I still see the shock in other people's faces, you know.
Sure.
So they're not over it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm used to it now, and I'm just, you know, looking forward to keeping on this way. And I love, love, love buying those clothes now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where before I would always look for clothes that would hide me. And make me look thinner, I thought. And now I just shop for skinny clothes and things that, you know, show off maybe my legs or my biceps or whatever. I have so many shirts with no sleeves now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's great.
So that I can, you know, show what I've done.
You should, dang it. You look great.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, you get the family, sometimes you get the sabotagers.
Sure.
And I had written about this at one point where someone in my family had said to me, who was very overweight, said, well, you don't look right. You know, you lost your chest. and, you know, you don't look right now. And at first it took me back, and then I came back to that person. I said, you know, I worked so darn hard to look like this. You know, so now I'm going to go out and I'm going to flaunt it. And I had the greatest night that night because I just, I dressed up and showed everything off, and it's just such a good feeling.
Well, that's great, Mary. I want to thank you for participating in the intensive and sharing a little bit about yourself today with everyone. I'm going to welcome you to the Success Gallery.
Great.
And I just want to thank you for sharing your time with me today and letting everybody inside a little bit to see what it is that you did and how you got to this advanced level. Anything you want to say in closing here to anyone who may be listening now or in the future?
Just do it. You know, that's it. That's all. I want to thank you because this has just been this is really probably the best thing I've ever done for myself. And I just feel so lucky that I found it and that all the tools were there, you know, provided by you. So I just want to say thank you, and anybody who just wants to give it one more try, you know, this will work if you work it.
Hi, this is David Greenwalt, founder of The Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle Online. If you enjoyed this recording and would like access to my entire library of informative and cutting-edge interviews and conferences, simply visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. And spelling that out, that is www.LEANNESLincoln.com. That's www.LEANNESSlifestyle.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed creating this recording.